I'd like to call to order the June 16th, 2016 meeting of the City of Mill Creek Design Review Board. Have a roll call, please.
Chair Dave Gunter.
Present.
Vice Chair Beverly Teague. Member Wayne Bison.
Present.
Member David Hamilton.
Present.
Member Tina Hastings.
Thank you. Next item on our agenda is the approval of minutes from our May 19th, 2016 meeting. Do we have any comments, changes, or a motion to approve? Have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
A second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Okay. The next item on our agenda is new business. It's Vintage at Mill Creek Building Elevations and Landscaping.
Yes, thank you and good evening, Design Review Board. Christine Murray, Senior Planner. This evening I'll be providing a staff presentation for the Vintage at Mill Creek. The application before you is the full meal package. It includes the building elevations, landscaping, and the monument sign. And this evening I would like to point out we have representatives from the applicant. We have Chris Olson, and we also have Dane here from NNO Architecture. And then their landscape architect, Jill McFarland, should be here shortly, so if she walks in, that may be her at the door. She'll be here to respond to any landscape questions. And with that, I'll go ahead and start the staff presentation. So the DRB's realm of responsibility this evening is to look at the building elevations, landscaping, along with the monument design. And taking a look, if you're not quite familiar where the application is at, it's south of 132nd Street and east of what is historically known as the Buffalo Farm. And it's denoted up here in red. Here's an overview of the East Gateway Urban Village. The reason why I included this map, as you can see, it shows the road alignment or the approximate road location. And this is kind of the format justification for the layout of how the project is set up. So you can see future connections to the west and also to the east of the site. Here's an aerial overview of the site. Penny Creek Elementary lies to the north. Also to the south is single family residential, so that's important to keep in mind because we do have height restrictions on the southern boundary. The maximum height needs to be compatible to a maximum height of 35 feet. Then over to the east, pointer here, over to the east, this particular site, this is Uppercuts Hair Salon. This site over here has a vacant barn on it, and the site is what we call undeveloped. And we often refer to this site as the old Buffalo Farm site, or Roger Sertino is the current property owner of it.
Yes. Would you reference the land zoning in those relative properties? So it's residential to the south, but is it commercial?
Thank you.
Or multi?
Good point. It is commercial both to the east and to the west.
Okay.
And over to the north, that is single family, typically PRD 7200 in Snohomish County. So our jurisdiction splits as you go to the north.
Okay.
Taking a look at the overview site plan, this is taken from the approved binding site plan from the hearing examiner. The first building that we'll be looking at is building one, and it's a C-shaped building. It is ground floor commercial parking with four stories of residential above, which is proposed to be senior apartments. Looking at building two, it is very similar in design except for smaller. It's rectangular. Same, it also has parking and commercial along the frontage. And parking, the entry for the parking on this particular one comes here from the east, as it does over here. This is for secured parking purposes for the residents and apartments. This is 41st Street. This would be the main entry. There's no signal here. It's right in, right out. You would come down, and this would be the future spine road connection, which is the purpose of showing this connection here, because eventually it would connect to the light here at 39. I'm going to slide back down here so you can see And then over here is Uppercuts Hair Salon over to the east. And I would like to point out there is a grade difference here. There is a proposed retaining wall. It's approximately, it goes from around 7 feet up here on this wall down to about 4 feet here. And then there's also a retaining wall on the back of this building here. It ranges from 2 to 4 feet also. So it just gives you an idea. They're tapering the site, so it levels out here to the west. Drainage is supposed to be off-site to the west also. So we have one building, building one, building two, then there are three single-story garage buildings behind here. These are intended for parking for the residences. And it's also proposed to use these buildings as a transition zone between the single-family residences on the south and the five-story buildings to the north. And there is the pedestrian trail along the south, and at some point it will connect up. Right now it's freestanding on its own. There were in your packet several perspectives, and I just provided you a new one this evening. So you have approximately 9 different perspectives of the building. They give you a 3D dimension of what it would look like. So if you want to take a look at those, it gives you a good feel of the architecture and the presence of the streetscape. So there's the first one in your packet. Here we'd be looking at the right-in, right-out road, 41st Avenue. This is commercial on the ground floor. And then you would turn to the east, and this would be the future spine road, which would connect through. And it is all fronted on ground floor commercial along the frontage. And then here's a different perspective. This is the hair salon over here, so you can get an idea of the streetscape and the different views. Then this is a perspective sheet that was provided to you this evening, the one that's up on the screen. So moving forward to the building requirements itself, we'll start with building one, and feel free to ask questions as we go along. The purpose is to have no blank walls, to use traditional materials, and to have pedestrian activity and viewing on the ground level, and also to provide breaking up the bulk of the walls with modulation, different colors and materials, and different window elements and awnings, etc. Taking a look at the materials proposed, I would like to point out the applicant has brought samples. And if you do recall, this application has been before you before. It was actually July 16th last year, so it's been almost about a year. So they had a fairly complete informal review before you. They've taken those comments, put together this package this evening. We've gone back a little bit with staff. And as you can see, the materials they are proposing, vinyl siding, and that was a concern. I know of the design review board, and you went out and looked at several of the different sites. So the applicant has brought samples of the vinyl siding that they are proposing. So for building one, they have a palette of neutral colors, blue, olive, white. They're using different colors of window trim to denote commercial and residential. And they're using brick veneer on the bottom to provide a traditional timeless look for the commercial frontage. And as you can see, the lighting proposed, they will have street lighting down there as far as actual, they'll have pool lights and they'll also have building lighting. And the building lighting is shown here on the sheet, the material sample. So here are the elevations that were in your packets. As you can see, we have this one here is the north elevation along 132nd Street. And as I was noting, they have the brick veneer on the bottom. They've done a good job of meeting the design review requirements with breaking up the facade with modulation. Each unit has a 6x12 deck, I'd like to point out, with railing. So each unit has some private open space. And in addition, they've broken up the color pattern and with windows on the sides. And they've carried that consistently throughout each building elevation front on the north, south, east, and west. I would like to point out, as we noted in your memo, on each elevation there's a key in the corner, so it shows you which elevation relates in location to the overall site plan, so you can see where you're at. maximum height of buildings one and two is 60 feet. Here's the other viewpoints from the west of building one, and these are the two end caps, which will face to the east. And the staff has reviewed this application. We have found building one is consistent with the city's design standards and the East Gateway design standards also. I'd like to open it up. Were there any questions or concerns regarding building one? This would be the building that fronts on 132nd Street and also 133rd, which is the Spine Road. Staff had no conditions for this particular building, so I didn't know if the design review board had any questions or concerns. If not, I would move forward to building two.
Well, I'm trying to remember from a year ago when they were here, it's proposed to be like a senior housing type of thing, correct?
That is correct.
And I don't know if I read that again last weekend. I was going to bet it is. Okay.
It is. It is intended to be senior apartments. And
senior apartments, and there's a dining hall in building one.
Yes.
Okay.
And that building one also has the commercial space. And
yeah.
Also, we're placing a senior center. He's building a senior center also within building one.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, noted within the summary, you'll see a breakdown on the ground floor that there is commercial space. There is also a small area for a police satellite office and approximately 2,800 square feet for a senior center, along with a fitness center, a hair salon, a little store, and then general commercial area.
And then it sort of ties together my question. Building two is senior housing also, and they have their own dining facilities, so people don't have to go back and forth between the buildings.
All the side amenities are in building one, actually. So
okay.
They are going to use those amenities to go to cross the street.
Okay.
Good question.
Can I ask some question? I have a little bit of attention to Chigarra.
Mm-hmm.
The dining areas actually are really in the room. We do have special dining rooms on the top floor, but they are reserved, and they're not a dining room where the community goes to eat.
Oh, okay.
There is a social room where people sometimes have pop-ups, or the building prepares a lunch room, but there is actually no dining room.
Okay.
It's served food on a regular basis. It's a different kind of a...
Okay, because where my mom lives, there's a dining room. Everybody goes down there for their meals. That's why I was curious. What kind of, doesn't really have to do with the design review board, but I was concerned about that busy street.
Yes.
Which is going to be a very busy street in the middle of the site.
Yes.
Or could be a very busy street when it goes through.
I do believe, and I'll look at the applicant, Chris and Dean, that it is designed primarily for independent living, but there is areas for joint dining, if that's correct.
Yeah. So, it's designed as independent living with just amenity spaces.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, moving on to building two. Looking at the material board, same type of materials, different color pattern. Looking at more grays and yellows here. Moving forward, this is the north option. This is north elevation, excuse me. Bottom floor, the same. They do intend to use the brick veneer on the bottom for the commercial. As you can see, they have the glazing on the bottom. And in addition, they break up the facade with the color pattern. Each unit similarly has its own deck. And as you can see behind building two in the elevation, you can see the transition down to the garages to the south. And here's the south elevation. Then we also have the west elevation followed by the east. Any questions on building two? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move forward to the garage buildings. The applicant has designed these to not have an impact on the adjacent single family homes. They have paneled garage doors to look residential. And in addition, the side of the building that faces the residences has no windows. It's primarily intended these units, garages, to be used strictly for parking. And staff also finds that these buildings are consistent with the city's design criteria. Any questions regarding the transition between the building height and the buildings of the adjacent single family?
So on the south elevations, those, and I was thinking part of the design guidelines are, you know, not to have things on buildings three, four, and five, those look like just plain walls?
They are.
They are, okay. And does that comply with the guidelines, even though it talks about some words other than that, like on the major buildings? Are these exempted?
That is a good point. Technically, probably not exempted, but we felt that with the landscaping that's proposed there, there's a retaining wall. When we get to the landscaping plan, I'll point this out, and perhaps that can be a discussion with the design review board. But there's a retaining wall here. There are mature trees that they plan to retain, and the idea is to create a buffer, a vegetative buffer, between the single-family homes, the garages, and then ultimately the five-story building.
Screened, looking at the landscape plan.
One of the questions I had, too,
correct.
What are the buffers between the different adjacent uses? So we can kind of...
We can. When we get to the landscape plan, I'll point out the spacing difference.
Okay.
And the idea with the garages is not to have windows here, so there's no light going in off and on at night that reflect through, if there's any, to the residences. Outdoor mechanical, I'll just touch on this lightly because staff does have a recommended condition for the design review board. Based on past experience with electrical conduit, different ground boxes installed, as you can see on the Polygon site, we've been through this. We've asked the applicant, in order to be compliant with code, that they do provide an outdoor mechanical plan that shows how it's going to be screened, whether it's vegetative, painted, etc. So there is that condition in there for the design review board to consider.
That's the one you added, right?
That is one that's currently there, and then I will be adding one regarding the concrete. And then looking forward at the landscape criteria, I know the design review board is familiar with it, but we do require hardy plants, native plants, repetition and coordination. And along with that, since this is located in the East Gateway area, there are requirements for public and private plazas. And in this case, it's the whole streetscape along the front. Bike racks, benches, interpretive signage along the trails required. In addition, they have a 20-foot perimeter landscaping with a trail that goes through the back along the southern property line. Looking at the existing conditions here, these are the existing trees along the southern property line. Only four of them are proposed to be retained, and staff does have a condition we'll talk about later to retain, and I'll point it out here, so I'll probably come back to it. This fir tree is proposed to be retained, and in addition, we're requesting that the cedar tree, because they're so tightly grown together within 5 feet, we're making a recommendation to retain that also. Here's a view of the frontage along SR 96. So here we go, landscaping plan. And is our landscape architect here? No. Okay, so in a pitch hit here. I'm going to refer, if there's any super technical questions, we have...
Oh, is she on her way there?
Yeah, she's caught. I got a message from my office that she's just caught in traffic.
So what we could do, if you want, since we've talked about the two buildings, mm-hmm. we often divide things like this up where we're looking at what we could go and have our discussion on the building, make any motions pertaining to the building, give her any additional time, and then we could go on to the landscaping. Does that work for you guys?
Certainly. That would work great. Good suggestion.
Okay. Okay, any comments concerning the building? Either one of the buildings or the parking structure?
I'll make a positive comment. I think they've done a really good job with the level of detail provided in the presentation and the elevations and perspectives and choice of materials. I don't have a recommendation, but do we want to talk about vinyl siding? That's sort of the are there any other commercial buildings in Mill Creek that have vinyl siding, or is this a first? I think some of those apartments you have, let's go look at up on the, just west of I-5,
right.
But that's in Linwood,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that is in Linwood.
Right, across the street.
One of the three, I think we recommended that you go look at. And they did bring samples in here.
I get, my question is, if you're down the road, if assume, well, I'll make the assumption it's going to keep its shape and be very nice. A few years down the road, if it gets to the point where it's rather faded, and from a marketing standpoint and property management, can the vinyl siding be painted, or does it have to be re-sided at that point in time? What's the long-term look for vinyl siding?
Well, we actually went down, so you guys went to the Ashway property, correct? The one across the freeway there? Mm-hmm. And then right adjacent to that was a brand new...
Can I just ask, just for the record?
Oh, for the record.
Your name, address, and your company?
Chris Olson, Nystrom Olson Architecture, 502 West Riverside, Suite 200, Spokane, Washington. Okay. We visited that facility actually today on the way here, just to also do the same thing, kind of a gut check on, one, what does the siding look like now? Because that property is about 4 or 5 years old, and it looks like the material did when they put it up. It holds its color, and also these manufacturers, the warranty they put on these, they'll replace it. So if that gray discolors or lightens, they'll come out and replace the section. Not just the pieces, but the whole deal.
Okay.
We looked at the property adjacent to it, which is a Hardy Board property, and you can see that the siding's starting to kind of warp, and some of the edges are starting to puff, and it's not keeping, and that thing's only about a year old, because it was just being finished when we were here last time. So we just drove by to just look and say, okay, how did the Hardy Board deal hold up in the last year compared to the vinyl one? And I mean, I'm not going to lie, I've been skeptical also, just because we've spec'd it before, but you wonder what it's going to do, but it tends to hold for years. We've got a couple other ones, one in Shoreline, and then we just finished in Covington with the same product, and they look great. And it's, if you check, this is pretty thick. It's not like the stuff you see on a single-family home. It's just thick. It's a heavier build material, and the colors that they used have been tested, and they don't discolor. Even the darker ones that they just started bringing out discolor. Bless you.
Oh, thanks.
What is the so the dimensions of the product for installation? Can you describe that? It's because the Hardy plank and stuff is typically a single plank of certain lengths.
Mm-hmm.
But is this a sheet, 4x8 sheet, or how?
Yeah, so this lap product is this tall, these pieces. That's why it doesn't pan, because it's connected every 8 inches. And these sections, I believe, are 10 to 12 feet long, and they're lapped. And then these guys are a 10-foot section, which we put in joints and bands so we don't have bands that go just kind of random. They line up with mullions or other material breaks. And these are planks that actually snap together in this fashion, like that. And they go 10-foot stick vertically.
So they're nailed down, and then they lap over the top.
Yeah, so everything's concealed.
There's no exposed nails, no rust, no color, anything like that.
No, they just snap together like this.
Then you have a nailing strip on the right or left side of each one as you go through. There's only 8 ways for them to go together. There's only 8 ways for them to go. It's like a viewfoil on an old viewfoil projector.
Yeah, they just kind of snap together in that fashion. Product a little thicker than what you typically see on the house where it gets warm and it does that. You don't see much of that with this. The Hardy, I was expecting it to be in a little better shape when we went there today, and to my surprise, it actually was. The lap was starting to do this move, and you could see the edges separating, and the larger panels were kind of starting to peel. So we believe in it. A lot of our housing developers are using a lot of it on a lot of these taller buildings, 4 or 5 story buildings, and we're yet to have to tear any out.
So. Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yep.
No.
You have any comments about the building?
Nope.
I think it's a great project. I just I had a couple of questions about the building soffit itself. Are those? There's not. So let's talk about the transition materials. You've got the siding, but then you have some railings and vertical elements on the balconies, and then the roof detail. Could the applicant explain those a little bit?
Which drawing are you looking at, Wayne? So I can sort of get a reference.
I guess I'm looking at this elevation.
What's the number on it? A.
The one in our packet, A5.06.
Okay. Thanks.
Is that the correct one, then?
Yes.
Okay, all right, perfect.
So, okay. Jill, hi.
Sorry.
That's okay. Landscape's here.
Hi, Jill, welcome. We'll start landscaping here shortly.
They want 5.6.
So.
5.06.
Starting with the decks, the decks are a painted wood deck with a prefab, pre-finished metal railing. The soffit is a vinyl, ventilated vinyl soffit material that we've also used, similar to this.
Thank you.
It's put in, it has grooves in it, so it's a, looks like a TNG type soffit panel with a ventilation strip at the edge.
Okay. And then the soffit is about a, it's a 12, what's the dimension up there on the?
Oh, on the fascia?
Fascia, the weight on the top, yeah.
How thick is that, guys? It's about 14 inches there.
It's all vinyl.
So the fascia will be metal, pre-finished metal. Yep.
Metal or vinyl. There's no exposed wood per se.
No.
Okay. And then down at the first floor at the brick, would you explain your flashing or detailing between your different materials and the masonry you have there?
So the way this is all designed is the masonry product comes, it'll sit on a stem wall, it comes up to the bottom of the gray band you see through there is actually the post-tension concrete slab projecting out past that will cap the brick.
Oh, okay.
So that's an actual concrete band that runs around the base of it.
Up to it and yep. Weather protection that way.
Yeah, it'll
overhang a little bit.
It'll overhang a little bit and it'll create a little drip edge past the face of the brick.
Good. That's a nice clean, yeah, that's like a nice clean connection. Thank you for explaining that.
Is that it?
You know, I do want to make a point. I really like the packet you guys put together, but I especially like the design of these buildings. It's very nice looking. And I even though I missed the actual last meeting, I do appreciate that you guys, you know, met with the design review board early and took into consideration recommendations and things of the board. So very nice packet, very nice plan. So with that said, before we move on to landscaping, without any further comments, if anybody would like to make a motion and also include, I think it is staff for the building. I'm looking for the recommendations of the staff are
I don't think one, there were any of
us. Well, one and two.
One and
we haven't talked about the site. One and two is she talked about the utilities.
Yeah.
And then the design and colors of the building. So it's conditions one and two, isn't it?
Yeah. So if we're just talking about the building, I'd like to know which staff recommendations to include in the motion.
One and two.
One and two. Okay. I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion, Dave.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion for the Mill Creek Design Review Board to approve the buildings as presented by staff today for the Vintage at Mill Creek development out in the East Parkway area. And it would be buildings one through five, including the garages?
That is correct.
I think that's what we're talking about, weren't we, Dave? Okay, yeah. So it would be all buildings one through five as presented, and including, to make sure we include the findings, conclusions, and recommendations, one and two in the staff report.
Okay, we have a motion. Have a second?
I second that.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 No opposed? Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on to landscaping.
I realize this is your board here, but I plan to move to this building, and I have some serious concerns, and I want to know when I will be able to ask questions.
About the design itself, or?
Yes.
This is your are you talking any internal things or the external?
One external for sure.
Now, so that's the only thing that's kind of covered by this board, is anything external.
Okay.
So.
Sorry, I'm Tom Rogers, Director of Community and Economic Development for the city of Mill Creek.
Yes.
And so the board's focus is basically on the building materials.
Right.
The colors, things.
Right.
More of the aesthetic looks. The actual plan itself, like how the building sits on the property and all that has been decided.
I'm not interested in that.
Oh, okay.
It's strictly, it is about color, it is about the material used for the patios, it's whether or not Vintage has the money to maintain the building after it's built. There's a little issues here that are not being met up at Everett, and I'm very skeptical. And also,
Do you live at Holly Village, ma'am?
Huh?
Do you live at Holly Village?
No, sir, I live at Everett.
Okay, there's another one up there that they have that we're actually renovating.
Oh, yeah, that's an old one. Yeah. That's a very old one.
I don't understand your concerns.
Yeah. No, I have a concern about one of the colors on the outside of the building and things like that, and I don't know whether I have the freedom to make a suggestion or not.
Public comment?
Yeah, if you want to give your name and address.
I'm Donna Barnes, and as I said previously, I was on the design, facilities planning and design at Children's Hospital, so I have a little experience in this part. I live at the Vintage in Everett, 1001 East Marine View Drive in Everett, North Everett. One of the things is I do like the colors. The only color I don't like is gray. This is Seattle. We have too much gray up here as it is already. I'm concerned about white being used on the patios because they do get green mildew, and it's very obvious where I live. It's very bad. The Vintage does not have the money nor the personnel to maintain them, and they're not pressure washing. They haven't pressure washed in 2 years. And the front of the building's looking pretty sad, including the white fence has not been pressure washed for 2 years, although it looks very nice with the brick stanchions on them. I'm thrilled that it's not going to be burgundy, which is where we live, because it's a change in color and it's really handsome. But I do have a concern about the gray. And you said that the decks are being made out of wood, mm-hmm. not cement.
No.
Okay. The ones we have are cement. So how is wood going to hold up?
It's so we have there's a treated deck with a traffic coating on it.
Uh huh. And is the outside of the deck, you know, the fascia, is it going to be wood, or is it going to be the vinyl that
it'll
you're
be,
using?
What do we have there? Do we have a smart trim out there?
Yeah, it's a 5/4.
So it's a 5/4 smart trim. So it's not a wood product. It's an engineered wood product, I guess. So.
Okay, and what's the life of that?
It's a
cement board.
Yeah,
it's a cementous type product. So.
Is a what?
A cementous product.
Oh, that's the name of the company? Okay.
Well, that's what it's made out of. Okay.
Again, I
really. You're saying it has a long.
Yes.
That's and I'm sure you would have done that. It's just that I heard the word wood, and you know what those look like.
Yes.
So that's the only thing. I think white looks good. It's a nice trim on the building, but it's going to look really bad in a couple of years, not because of the design, but because of the management. And that was my concern, really. And that road that's coming between the building, is that just a path?
No, it's a full public road. It's 133rd. That's intended. I think you came in late, so I'm going to scroll back
here. Yes, I did.
Here.
I'm sorry.
The overview of it, I'll just show you here so you have a...
Yeah.
Comprehension of how it's going to connect at some point.
Okay.
This is the light at 39th, if you're familiar with the area. So this property is undeveloped, but the idea is that it will connect at one point in time when this develops to the west.
Okay.
And then over to the east, it would connect to the light that's there at 44th, where Buffalo Park and the Polygon development is at.
Right.
And portions of that road already exist from previous work on previous...
Oh, yeah. So, does it go through the property?
That is correct.
It goes through where?
Right there? Here, yes, between building one and building two, and these are two five-story buildings.
Got it. And so is there any green space here for this this vintage community?
There is. There's 50,000 square foot of public, and there's 30,000 square feet worth of private. There's a private courtyard here. Each unit does have a 6x12 deck, along with public plazas on each corner here.
Which is a good size.
And benches along the frontage, yeah. And street trees, streetscape along all the public roads. We'll be talking about that here in just a moment as soon as we wrap up the
building. And the garages, what kind of security do you have and lighting? And that's a long ways for people to walk for their car at night.
There's secured parking underground under the building.
No one has ever mentioned that, so I'm thrilled. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you for the time.
And thank you for your comments.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other comments to wrap up with the buildings after the motion?
No, I mean, we should, maybe just add a comment to consider the comments made by the developer as far as the color, the white color, especially, just to consider, take a look at that and consider.
Yeah, Chris Olson again here. Yeah, we will definitely take those into consideration to the developer and speak with him about the gray siding and the colors on the building and maintenance.
I think the more concern would be the white, but
yep.
just make that as we've done before, just a comment that should be considered by maybe staff and the developer, and leave it at that.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. And moving forward, we covered the landscape criteria. We held public comment, and I'd like to welcome Jill McFarland here to the meeting. She's landscape architect. So what I'm going to do is just provide a overview of the proposed landscape plan, and then if there's any questions, we have the applicant's representative here, and we also have staff to respond to any questions. So just running through here, one of the first areas of open space is the 50-foot roadway buffer along 132nd Street. There are existing street trees out there and a sidewalk. The sidewalk is going to be removed. They are proposing to retain the existing street trees. And they will be replacing one of the Norway maples, which is noted there. They do have the above ground power lines, as you can see, those will be retained just due to the voltage. But you can see the existing frontage that is here. This is what is proposed up here in the front. You have the detail of it within your packet. You did receive full-size copies of it last week to review. Moving down the public road here, there are street trees proposed in tree grates along with two public benches. Right along here is the parking garage, and then the sidewalk widens down here to the commercial area. And then taking a look of the overview here, this is the private plaza that I was referring to. There are proposing a fire pit, seating, textured plaza, some raised planting beds for the residents, along with what I believe a grassy area for pets. And then we have internal parking lot landscaping, street trees along the road, and then as we're moving to the south, we'll provide the second sheet here. Staff has made several conditions which are included within your packet. One of them is looking at the southern buffer along the edge between the single family and the garages where the pedestrian trail meanders through. There are four trees proposed to be retained. Staff has requested as a condition of approval that the applicant just accurately describe the trees to be retained and also to retain the cedar tree, which is next to tree 14, and we're asking them to keep tree 15, which is specifically noted in the condition, because they're so tightly grown together, it just seemed to make sense when we were out there in the field. Then in addition, the trees that are proposed to be placed in between the ones to be retained, staff has made a recommendation to select a different one with, it's not so columnar, that has a broader canopy on it to provide additional coverage and screening when it has mature growth. Any questions so far, or shall I continue on and then open it up? Do you have a preference as far as format? You're okay. Okay. And then moving along the eastern property boundary here, there is the retaining wall, as I mentioned earlier. So there's a narrow strip that runs between the wall. It ranges from approximately, I think, 6 to 8 inches up to about 2.5, 3 feet over here. Staff has recommended, due to the pavement between the areas, the retaining wall and the parking lot. Currently, Oregon Grape is proposed to be placed there. It tends to not do well with the heat, so we ask that they select a plant that's more heat tolerant for that area. They have proposed, I'm going to touch on the plazas, there is seating, benches, trash receptacles, along with bike racks for these areas. And as an added condition, staff has also recommended that they provide the colored concrete. That's something that I had missed as I was going through the staff reports when I was looking at the civils. The engineer and I, we acknowledged, like, oh gosh, we missed this condition. It's supposed to be textured concrete to provide interest. So the applicant has kindly selected two different colors of gray, which was the sample that I routed to you that look like this. We have a light gray and a dark gray that's proposed in a checkerboard pattern. So staff is recommending that as a condition of approval to meet the East Gateway design guidelines.
It's going to be a checkerboard then?
That's correct.
Okay.
How?
Kind of complimentary,
okay.
Yeah.
It's not like black and white.
It's not going to be
jumping off the. It's not going to be like a checkerboard. That sounded sort of tacky.
Yeah.
Well, they might be able to integrate that in somewhere.
You're right.
Some big chess pieces.
You're going to have big chess pieces and out in front.
Yeah.
So as you can see, you were asking about the public street. There is parking proposed along the frontage also, because there will be commercial storefronts there. With that, I'd like to open it up to any questions or additional comments from the applicant or the landscape architect regarding landscaping.
Well, I'm Dave Hamilton. I'm the one I sent my question in. And my question pertained to drawing L 1.7 and L 1.10, and it appeared like there were some things on the drawing that they aren't in the legend.
Yeah.
Could you come up and identify or give your name and address for the record, please, and address that for me? Thank you.
I'm Jill McFarland, and I work for Jeff Glander and Associates in Olympia, Washington, SCJ. Your question... it's not regarding the sheet that's up here. It's regarding the two detail plans.
Two detail sheets about the plaza.
One, the sheet, and that was brought to my attention, and that was an error. I can tell you what those refer to, and I've corrected those sheets and updated the numbers.
Okay.
So the two, I think both of the sheets, what you were referring to, the numbers were about the concrete and the joints in the concrete, and one of the numbers pointed to the control joint, which is just a score joint, and then one was the construction.
Okay, they're
joint.
Drawing details then. Okay.
Yes, exactly. There were, I've updated all of the numbering on those sheets to be accurate.
Just for the other members on the board, on L1.7, number 11 is on the drawing a few times and it's not in the key. And then on drawing L1.10, there's a 15 on the drawing and no 15 in the key. That's why I asked my question.
And I believe that on the L1.10, there were a couple other call-outs that were on there that were also not in the list. And those,
okay.
Well,
13's on the list.
It's on the list.
Oh, it's not on the drawing. Okay.
So the other two call-outs that I found, I mean, let's see, I can kind of run through. I know the five was referring to the trees and the tree grates. Then most of those.
If they're just minor details like
exactly.
that, that's fine.
They were just saying that the smaller, the more detailed concrete was going to align with the building and that those weren't the exact locations.
Yeah.
That's all that those referred to. They were all very detailed oriented.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Before you sit down,
sure.
Thank you for rushing up here to meet with us tonight. Is it possible that you could kind of just run through just a quick overview of the design concept for the landscape, including some details on the plaza and how you've designed it with the sun orientation, shade, and traffic patterns, just to kind of give us a little more detail, please?
I could. Are you specifically asking about those small plazas on the through street?
Just if you could just run through the whole site, starting one place, and the Christina has a pointer.
Great.
There we go.
Okay.
She could.
Sure, we can start. Did you want to come up here and use the pointer too? Is that easier, probably? Yeah, come on up. Yeah, go ahead. There's the mouse.
Okay.
I don't see it. Wait. Okay. There. Let's see. Now, regarding the plaza, so this is the private plaza in here, and Christy referred to.
So I'll take it off so it's the actual arrow.
Okay.
We'll go.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better.
There. You can see that a little bit more easily now.
Okay. So here is the larger plaza. This area here is we proposed an artificial turf with a drainage below for pet exercise for small pets to use. And here we have some ornamental trees and grates. In front of, there are a couple benches along the edge there of these plantings that are right around the building here. This area would be contrasting paving with a fire pit, a gas fireplace pit with some seating around it. And this is a low wall behind it. So kind of creating a softer edge to this, you know, kind of rectangular plaza. Also this contrasting smaller grid paving here, which that we were proposing just to be a standard concrete color. And then this central area here with the tables would be a colored concrete. And this area here, maybe I should have started with that. That's a raised garden bed meant for, that we proposed having a garden, like a vegetable gardening for the residents. And it also has a trellis above it, so an arbor that would be, you know, would curve along with the curve of the garden bed. And in front of that would be, there's a like a crushed rock walk. So you can access those garden beds from all sides. And in front of that, some planting.
Well, that structure then would provide a little bit of screening from the parking lot.
Exactly.
Is that the intention there?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it'd have some screening. It'd have some plants in the summer and, you know, spring, summer, fall seasons when people are able to use that.
Well, is there any real grade change through there then, or it's basically flat? It looks like the path goes from the picnic table right to the parking lot. So that's...
Correct.
I couldn't. Okay.
It's all the only, you know, these planters right here are raised, but this is a path that's at grade.
Okay.
And then also over here and here.
South facing and then west facing, so there's lots of sun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
in my experience, the time that we have when we can spend outside, most people want to be in the sun, not in the shade. But it does have some shady spots for people who need to stay out of the sun or who want to on our occasional hot days we have. And then there are some evergreen trees also just to sort of soften the edge of the building on here. Not just full on the smaller evergreen trees. So that is the positive. Does anybody have questions about
that answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much. And then there were some buffer, Chrissy, there were some buffer areas that I know on the south side that there's a buffer, but the north, so the north side has a meandering pathway with a wide variety of planting. So I'd like to, it's nice to see a great plant list with a lot of varieties of a really very thoughtful and lots of creative ideas there. So
we tried to create interest up at the road and see if there's so much space for planting.
And then for the down on the lower part, the far south, the other building across the road.
Mm-hmm. Transition to the next slide. Okay. There we go. Yeah.
Let's revisit that condition or the concerns that staff had about the trees there.
The four trees that are supposed to be retained there, as you can see, they have the X in them. And then in addition, we're requesting the arrows pointing on the left to keep
an additional tree, which is tree number 15. There's a fir currently proposed to be retained. We're requesting a cedar next to it. It's only about 5 feet away, maybe a little less, to retain that also. It would just provide additional screening and coverage all year round between the residences and the new proposed buildings. And then in addition, we're requesting that you substitute something else with more of a wider, mature crown versus the Bow Hall maple that's selected there.
Do you have any potential ideas on what that might be in lieu of Bow Hall? Yes.
I don't know off the top of my head. I think it would be nice with the native firs there to have something that has more open and maybe more natural crown than a Bow Hall. And I think we were probably just trying to create as much openness between the large.
Because the part of my question is that there's single family homes just next door to that, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And the majority of the trees, as we saw in the photo, they'll be removed, but we'll open the left side of it.
Yeah.
And we do expect one of those left ones to have to be
removed. But I guess maybe the intent there would be whether it's a broader variety of maple or another tree. That would be very, very full and provide more screening, because there, for the families right next door, there's the lower garage, but then there's the taller building. So I think that's the key, is the wider spread tree that would be a very robust growing deciduous tree. I just thought you might have something.
Well,
that's fine. Just
I was thinking it could be a wider. I can't remember what other
people
we had,
but you and I think you had some Zolkova on here too, but I'm thinking.
Or there's a Tupelo and Missa Slovaca, which is a nice red fall color. And
something really full like that, not thin like a honey locust, but something. So I guess I just wanted to bring that up, that I'm really glad that staff did review that, so please look at that carefully and get that.
Do you have a recommendation, Wayne, with your palette of plants?
There's Pacific Sunset Maples. Maybe I'll send a couple comments to staff. They can forward to you. I'm also a landscape architect, so I have some interest in that, and I think it's a great plan, very thorough, very well done. So I just thought we could bounce some ideas off, but I'll send a couple recommendations in and like consideration. So.
Well, okay, yeah,
thank you. That's really all I had for right now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have any other?
May I have another question?
Sure.
In that lovely, in that nice area where you have the planting for the community can come and have plant in that garden, you have an area where there's gravel or rocks or pebbles or something, you said. Where I live, and we have a garden area, and there, it's really nice, but it's all cement because there are about 259 apartments where I live, and where it's built, no one can access it unless they can walk up and down stairs. There's no ground access, so I'm assuming this is all on ground level. Your gardening area? Okay. Oh yes, that's lovely. What I was thinking is that we have almost 300 people living there, and more than half of them never come out of their apartment. The other half, I would say, are using walkers and wheelchairs. And they wouldn't be able to go over the gravel. So is there, it looks like the bed, you have access to the bed from both sides. So a lot of people would not be able to maintain their whole garden spot with the stones and stuff. So that was my only. Okay, and is the, I don't know how they're going to be used, but if they're going to have access from front to back, which I call it front to back, they wouldn't be able to maintain the side where you have the plants and stuff. So that's just a thought.
It's just a dark area.
Yeah, I only know it because the people where I live are really disappointed because only people who can walk up and down stairs, and it's level. Ours is level, but no one can access it. It's just a thought.
Maybe
the maintenance issue, maybe that might be something to look at, depending on how it's continuing.
I'd be concerned about the crushed rock and a long-term maintenance issue.
Yeah.
That's, maybe another textured concrete or something, or like a strip of exposed aggregate concrete. So you'd have a texture difference. On the back, on the south side of that raised planter bed, maybe it could be like exposed pea gravel or something would make it. It would look like gravel, but it wouldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, just a thought, because we have a lot of our community should be in assisted living, and they're not. So,
right.
I think it's a great idea. Thank you.
Certainly, thank you very much. Any other questions on landscaping?
Yeah. Want a motion?
So before we make a motion, this motion would include 4 through 7, plus you had an additional one right there.
Correct, with the concrete along the roadways and the public plazas, the gray checkerboard pattern as presented by the applicant in the cool gray and the lands.
Right. So we have 4, 5, 6, and 7 plus that, and then we would also ask that they consider a different material other than the gravel.
And 8 was a checkerboard concrete.
Yes.
I had 8 checkerboard concrete, 9 something other than gravel.
Right. There you go.
And we want to include 3 also. It talks about the monument sign. We didn't cover that with the build.
We haven't talked about the monument.
Well, it's going to be a separate one. Okay. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Want a motion on this one?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that the Mill Creek Design Review Board approve the landscape plan as presented by staff and the staff report today for Vintage at Mill Creek with the conditions of approval identified by the staff, numbers 4 through 7, with an additional one, number 8, having to do with the checkerboard concrete talked about in the staff presentation, and then also a condition, number 9, to replace the crushed rock maybe with exposed aggregate to have a texture, but it would be more maintenance-free in the long run.
Very thorough, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Now let's move on to monument.
Yes. Fine. Thank you. The last item this evening is the monument sign. The requirement is for the maximum sign area to be 16 square feet with a maximum height of 42 inches high. The applicant is proposing traditional materials with brick to complement the building with gray concrete, metal frame, and also uplighting from the ground. It is proposed to be at the entry here at 41st on the east side. There is a condition that staff has put in there just to ensure that the 5-foot setback from the right-of-way is met, and that's shown on the site plan during the building permit. And as proposed, the applicant at this time is just proposing the name of the development, and then obviously each commercial frontage is allowed its own wall signage, which is approved administratively by staff as they determine which tenants are approved. With that, staff has found that the proposed monument sign meets the design criteria and has no further comments or recommendations except that one condition for the 5-foot setback.
And the sign is double-sided, correct?
The sign is double-sided to catch traffic.
Okay. And so I have a question in your freestanding sign criteria paragraph. It says that may have one freestanding sign not exceeding 16 square feet in area. Should that say 16 square feet on each side?
Technically, yes. It should say each side, but in the past it's been implemented that the sign is double-sided.
You get 16 feet per side. Okay.
Correct. Yes.
It allows what, Tom?
The three sides on the corner sites.
Okay.
Where the Safeway is.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure we were I just wanted to make sure we were compliant. So I read 16 square feet, and we've got 32. Is that?
That's hard to see from the roadway.
Yeah. And well, I certainly agree it should be double side. I put a note here. Double face, okay? That was my question.
Thank you.
And I like the design. It's simple and clean and reflects the simple and clean design of the building itself. So
I would agree.
I like the sign. So.
Does the applicant intend that to be a poured-in-place concrete, or is there any precast on that on the sign?
The bottom. The base would be poured-in-place, and then the cap of the brick would be precast concrete. With the brick, the similar brick veneer that we used on the building.
Right answer. Yeah. Thank you.
It would be similar to the first floor of the building with the concrete tap.
I had a question. Christy, if you could relate, I want to verify the height of the adjacent plantings or landscape. Can you show me where the... Because I'm trying...
So here, not shown on this. It is the ground cover. Let me see.
Okay, so it is
for a full size.
Number three is what it's showing.
It's number three on sheet L1.1 in the top left-hand corner.
Plantings under there. I was just at a couple of projects where they had beautiful project signage, and in some places it's around in Mill Creek. The plantings cover all the, I mean, I love plants, obviously, but where the plantings cover the sign, and it's very low to the ground, so I know you're trying to keep it low for visibility, but
well, there's ceanothus in front of it.
That's going to get even that's going to get so I guess if the applicant and the landscape architect could look at the planting specifically so they don't block their sign with taller shrubs or ground cover, but it looks looks like it should be okay, because that's going to get maybe 12 to 16 inches, so I guess you guys have it worked out. But just something to consider. Anyway, okay.
We want a motion on the sign then, Chair?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the sign
with
condition three.
And just take a look at the...
And to review the...
Yeah.
The plantings around the perimeter of the sign to not block it. That's my motion.
I'll second it.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. Thank you. Very nice work.
Excellent project. Thank you so much for all the thorough details and design work.
I would like to thank the applicant for preparing a very thorough packet and being responsive to our criteria in the code. Thank you, DRB, for your review and the thoughtful comments from the public. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in as well. Appreciate your comment. Thank you very much.
You see, I plan to move here along with about nine other people.
There you go. This will be your new